Okay. Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Okay, let me see. What do we got here? 741, please, and let's stand. 741.
I'm so happy, and here's a reason why. Jesus took my burden all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burden all away. Once my heart was heavy with a load of sin, Jesus took that load and gave me peace within. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burden all away.
One more time, ready?
I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burden all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burden all away. Once my heart was heavy with the load of sin, Jesus took that load, he gave me peace within. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burden all away.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. Thank you for the opportunity to get here today. Thank you for my church, Lord, my church family. The extra folks that showed up here, Lord, to hear just a little bit of preaching today. Thanks for the good week we've had, Lord, keeping us safe, getting us through. We had plenty to eat, Lord. We got clothes on our back. What more? Lord, it's all just gifts from you, and thank you so much for it all. Be with us today, Lord, as we sit amongst each other. Help us, Lord, just to be friendly, to love, spread a little fellowship around today, Lord. But most of all, Lord, be with us as our pastor opens your word today. Goes through it with each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, to be attentive, to look, to listen, and to pray along with him, Lord, in whatever that you have for us here today. I pray, Lord, that somehow, some way, that if someone needs you today, they would get right before they leave this building today. Thank you for our service. Thank you for our time together, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 477, please. 477.
Precious Savior, that the love laid hold of me, thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us. Every day and every hour, empty that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest, graciously with each command, channels only, blessed Master. But with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, thou who brought us to possess me, fullness, Lord, come in. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Jesus, fill now the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
Let's see, I got two mixed up, but we're still going here. King of the Nations, we got this insert here. King of the Nations. Verse 3, bring tributes from the nations, come in joyful cavalcades, what thunderous acclamation, one banner raised, Jesus, King of the nations, Jesus, Lord of all, Jesus, King of the nations, Lord of all.
Let's stand as we sing the last verse.
Fear God and give Him glory, for His hour of judgment comes. Creator, Lord Almighty, worship Him alone. Jesus, King of the nations, Jesus, Lord of all, Jesus, King.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let's see. Announcements. Here we go. Our evening service tonight at 6 o'clock. Message is finding and giving value in the gathering of the church. Come on out to that, folks. It's good stuff and good time together. Candy Parlor is going to have a procedure done this week. Another oblation, I believe it is. Just keep candy in your prayers. They can't get her heart rhythm fixed, so hopefully this will help out there. Our personal evangelism is on the 25th of this month. Men's Bible study is going to be, is this actually August? Wow. Yesterday, I'm sorry. Please check with Pastor Doug there on, see, I got it all goofed up here, but I'll go back here. Women's Bible study is going to be the 18th. Deacon and trustee meeting was going to be the 20th. The trustees are allowed to meet if they wish. The deacons are not going to. Wilton Bible study is going to be on the 27th. Fellowship has been changed to August 6th in lieu of Steve Mwindi and his family coming here to join us. And we're going to have our meal there with him. Marilyn, Kay, and Autumn are in charge. We have communions then going to be set for the 6th of August. Or it was the 6th. It's now going to be July 30th for this month. And Kathy Sawasik has a new address. See, Hauser Street, Park 401. And then Pastor's Thought for the Week.
who or what is interfering with your ability to worship the Savior in spirit and truth. Wow, that's good stuff. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning off. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for getting us here today, Lord. The good week we had, the many things we've gotten accomplished, Lord. But Lord, most of all, realizing today that you're here and you're in charge, Lord. You're our sovereign God. You're going to do what you want, Lord. Help us, Lord, to know those truths, understand them, and to use them in our lives, Lord. Be with our pastor who's about to speak, guide and direct there. And Lord, the gift and the giver today, I just ask you to be with any and all. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Autumn and Ellie's going.
Tell the oceans. Greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Normally, I don't preach from the bulletin, and I'm not going to do that in totality today, but I do think there are a few things I'd like to bring you up to date with from our bulletins, but I greet you in Jesus' name, as I said, and also want to welcome you today. This is a good place to be today, and as Autumn and Ellie mentioned in their song, have you seen Jesus today, and will you see him here this morning? I trust that that is the case, and that you're excited and desirous of a close and personal walk with him. If you're visiting with us today, we're glad you're here, but for everyone that's come through these doors, we are glad you're here, and we have a message of value today in Jesus Christ. Anyway, today we're going to go on in our message series about the rules and the roles for the two sexes. And the reason that we live in tumultuous times today is in part because of our mishandling and misoperating under the ways that God has established. And that has been for all time since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. But folks, there is hope today, and those things can be overcome. And so we're going to explore that further with the ladies. I think we will do well to get through that today, and then men next time around. So men, get ready. It's going to be rough for you as well. But I want to preach from the bulletin for just a minute. Seriously, I don't. But I want to just tell you this. There's more things that go on here at Fruitland than just Sunday mornings. And I do want to invite you back tonight. The message that I will be on the second part of tonight is finding and giving value in the gathering of the church. And so I'd like you to ask yourself today, what value do you find in the church, and what value do you give to the gathering of the church? It's Jesus' institution here, again, for the assembling and the gathering for fellowship of the believers, not only with God, but with one another. So come tonight. It's a very freewheeling discussion as I go through these things. It's very important that Fruitland Baptist Church not be turned into a museum. I just want to give you a thought about that. I've been reading a little bit about the Herbert Hoover Museum and Library over in West Branch. And, of course, Herbert was one of our presidents. I'm even old enough to I attended his when they laid him to rest there in a grave in 1964. My folks have some film of that. But in later years, there has not been a great relevance there. They're begging people to come, trying to find new ways. Isn't that kind of like the church? If this place is turned into a museum, it's not going to fulfill what the Lord wants. You be a part of God's church. It's a living place, and it's not about what you get. It's about what you give. And yes, I'm not talking about money, even though we do need to give to the Lord, but it's what God has given you to offer. So come and dialogue with that on a Sunday night. And then I want to plug in another thing for our midweek service on Wednesday night. That's at 7 o'clock. Evening service is at 6 on Sundays. But 7 o'clock for midweek, we have a prayer meeting and a Bible study. I've begun a series on the book of Amos. And what Amos mainly speaks about is judgment. And folks, you will be able to find, when you see what Amos wrote to both Israel and Judah, the two kingdoms of Israel, you will be able to discern national judgment and personal judgment from God. And we'll look at that and explore that thoroughly. So these are important issues, along with an opportunity to pray. Pray with maybe a friend, pray with someone else to share your requests and burdens. And so we invite you to those things. Also, ladies, there's a Bible study Tuesday night. When and where? And what? What time?
6 p.m.
Thank you. So there you go. Welch Apartments are up on Iowa and 3rd, if I remember correctly. So Kathy is the point person on that, and I'm pointing at her. And she will help you, ladies. You're certainly invited to come. Men's Bible study meets every other Saturday out here in Fellowship Hall, 9 o'clock. You're all welcome. You won't be put under any pressure. Just come and share with one another and grow in the Word. I think that's all I was going to talk about with the bulletin. But just so we are aware, we are switching up communion at the end of the month. We normally have it the 6th of August. But Stephen Mwindi, our missionary from Kenya, he's a church planter, builder. I've known Stephen for many years. You will not want to miss that Sunday and the message that he'll have for us there again. So I invite you to those things. Also, look at your calendars. There's church picnic coming up. There's other activities. We'll have a water cantaloupe feed, watermelon cantaloupe feed sometime in August on a Sunday evening. So many things, again, that there's a family fun night also coming in August on a Wednesday evening. So check your calendars and be aware. One last thing, and I'm done preaching from the bulletin. As you noticed this morning, we got a lot of people on vacation. But let me just say this. If you go on vacation, and let me just say, I'm jealous. I've never had a vacation, real vacation, where I could let my hair down. Well, that's obvious. But just because you go on vacation doesn't mean you go on vacation from the Lord and from His Word, right? That's how you get refreshed. I realize sometimes we need a break from things and a change of scenery. But I'll tell you what, true refreshment, peace, comes from a walk with the Lord daily in His Word and with Him. Okay, I'm done yapping about that. At this time, let's turn our attention to worship, because that's why we're here. And we'll take a few moments before I have a short pastoral prayer. Autumn and Ellie set the stage for that this morning. Do you adore the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you really love Him? Or is He your fire insurance? And that's enough. Well, folks, He loves you with a love that we cannot even comprehend. I guarantee you, if you will give His love, give your love back to Him, and to love one another as He says we should, love God, love one another. That sums up all the commandments. That's the cross. You will have an increasingly vibrant walk with Him. So, again, I challenge you and I this morning, are we here to show the Lord how worthy He is? This is a time we can do that for a few moments silently, and then we're going to pray together and we'll begin our message. Shall we pray? Father, as I bow my heart before You today, and as I've just asked You, Lord, may this be a day where my heart says, You are worthy, O Lord, because You are. We cannot even plumb the depths of Your greatness and Your awesomeness, Lord, and how You reached out to unworthy man as the one who was perfect and laid down Your perfection to take the burden of our sin upon You. Shed Your blood to cover our sins so that Your Father sees us and sees Your blood covering our sins and rose again the third day to new life. Oh Lord, what You have offered to mankind is exciting. There's nothing dull about biblical Christianity and a personal walk with You. I pray today, Lord, that we would be responsive to You today, that even now as we have been praying privately, Lord, that our hearts would be adjusted corporately towards You, that there would be enthusiasm and excitement, Lord, about what is to come with You. Lord, wipe away our negativity. Allow us to bask in the greatness of Your love. And Lord, allow us to be reflectors of Your light and love to those around us. Now we thank You today, Lord, that we don't come here to honor man, but we've come here to honor You. And Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Word who is Jesus, who became flesh and dwelt among men. But we thank You for Your written Word as well that shows us who You are. Father, help us, I pray, in our battle against sin. Help us, Lord, to experience the victory that You won for us on Calvary's cross daily in our lives. We thank You for everyone that's come today, Lord. We know today, Lord, there are many people of our own flock who are not here. Some are on vacation. Lord, there's all kinds of things that affect the human heart. There's very likely some people that are angry, some that are discouraged. Lord, there may be infighting in a home. Lord, it may be people are just turned off on You today, not wanting to engage with You today, Lord. I pray You would cause them, again, to be convicted of that, and that enthusiasm and hope would be restored in their lives. And then, Lord, we think of our community outside of our walls here. We pray, Father, once again, that You would cause this church to be a reflector of Your light, that when we put on our sign, we care about this community, that it's real and genuine, Lord. And I pray that You would do a great work here in Fruitland. Thank you for where you have placed us. Lord, there always is that thought that Satan plants in our head that if we were only somewhere else or in a different area, it'd be different. But it won't, Lord. It's what we make of it through you. And I thank you, Lord, that the gospel witness remains here in this community, technically Muscatine, but the Fruitland Island area. So we thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, as we turn our hearts to you today, we look at a subject today that is controversial in our world. And I pray, first of all, Lord, that you would help me to properly exegete it, to bring it forth accurately as we think about this. But, Lord, thank you for the freedom that you give us. We don't have to accept your word. But, Lord, I know this, that when we do accept it, it will be profitable for us. I pray that you'll cause people here today to have brave hearts to say, you know what? How can I knock it till I've tried it? I thank you, Lord, that verses exist, though, like 1 John 1:9-10, where, Lord, we can back up and say, you know what? I've messed up, and I confess that to you, Lord. Cleanse me and help me, Lord, to get it right. Lord, we're all in the same place. We don't get it right, and yet you love us and forgive us and help us to get it right. So, Lord, help us to approach our topic today in that light, I pray. Now, Lord, I need your help as always. I'm weak, but you're strong. You know the frailty that is the person up here behind this desk. So, Lord, I pray you'll help me. And, Lord, that this message, again, will accomplish the purpose, as you say about your word, and it will return to you, not void. So I pray today, Lord, for a soul that is lost to be found, and, Lord, for there to be action in the hearts of men as we approach a holy God. And I pray these things today, Lord, and I forgot one thing. There are many that are genuinely ill, too, today, Lord. I do know this morning a request for Karen and Bert's sister, Patty. Lord, we need to place before your throne who is suffering from the effects of a stroke and is hospitalized. Lord, for her and many others of our number who are not well, I pray you would help them in their time of need. Now we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, once again, folks, not a big introduction here, but just I'm not going to try to catch us up to speed, but I just want to offer a few thoughts here as we go on today with some of the rules and roles for women in the Bible. And I pray again that the Lord will help me to properly bring these things forth today. But the thing that I would say to you today is this, is that man, since the fall, has been involved in a lengthy time of rebellion against God's will and his ways. We're a rebellious bunch of people. When we want to do something that differs from God, we struggle with that, and many times the flesh wins. But as I bring forth these messages, and any message on any given day, some that are more controversial possibly than others, I say this, you know, is the way that man has chosen for himself or herself been a bed of roses? Respond to that. Well, I hear an overwhelming no. You know, that was Lynn Anderson that preached the doctrine of the Rose Garden. But I think she even said that. Some of you don't even know. I never promised you a rose garden. Well, God did promise us a rose garden. But Adam and Eve slipped up. We'll see that even in the text today. But the bottom line with that is there can be change. If we'll consider what God says and do it his way, don't you think it's worth a try? And the answer that I find when I see that and when I'm convicted or challenged in the word about my life is, yeah, you know what? His way is worth a try. By the way, don't believe this lie that people tell you either that things used to be better in the past. Because it's always been the same. Bad. There might be times that were better or worse a little bit in things, but we live under the same condition that mankind always has. Rebellion against God. It's like when you train a horse. When they get used to the bit and they get used to the directions, pretty soon it becomes what? It becomes a natural thing to do it the way that the person that's riding or that trained them is. And it's the same way with God. When we stop rebelling against the bit, then we can see some good things that will happen. And by the way, folks, for the Christian, it's never going to be easy to walk in this world. Because when we are born again in Jesus Christ, we still live in the world, but we are not of the world, folks. And that's always going to be a struggle. It's going to be an uphill battle. But it's a battle that can be won one step at a time with Jesus by our side. Amen? Yeah. So we have a lot of hope, folks. And we know that Jesus is our hope. Well, the bottom line is we need to do it God's way. And we need to stop rebelling. So today we're going to pick up the context this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we started in this, and I won't go back through this, but you can listen on the internet or ask me for a copy of the message. Of course, that's not a lot of help because you won't be able to read it. Yes, I know I'm old-fashioned. Yes, I should be up here with a tablet. Yes, all kinds of things. But this is still the way I work because I am a product of what I am. That doesn't mean I can't change, and I may go to that someday. But as of now, I still write my messages out because I think them out as I write them. But they're in code. It's called my handwriting. And I can help you to discern that if need be. But anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and in the prior week we looked here again at the word, the Greek word, kosmeo, that we find in verse 9. In like manner, Paul writes, and again, this context is talking particularly about worship. What we're doing here this morning, hopefully with our hearts, steering our hearts toward God and listening to and acknowledging His worthiness today. How important He is. What an awesome God He is. But Paul is talking specifically about the women here. And he's talking specifically to his protege, Timothy. And he's talking about the church. And how women are to conduct themselves in the gathering of the church. Now, the men are going to get hit with this whenever I get done. By the way, I'm not going to try to rush through this. If it takes us all summer to get this topic preached, I believe it's a worthy topic. If you're bored, raise a hand. Some of you already... Who's bored already? That's one word I have a hard time with. I can sit in a room and look at a wall and not be bored. But that's me. The Greek word kosmeo, do you remember what modern... By the way, there's a Gideon Bible here. Property of Hotel Muscatine... No. No one would have... I'm just having fun. But I have picked up a Bible before in a church. And it did say property of a certain hotel. Or do you get what I'm talking about? Who would steal a Bible? You know what? I think that's one thing. God may allow you to take a Bible. It would not be stealing, but you need to put it back. Whose is this, by the way? Cosmio, what's the English word? Who said cosmetics? Sharon, you listened. Good for you. So, you remember what was said last week? And I use an illustration of a dear lady. I won't go back to the... I normally don't pick on people at all. But what Paul is telling Timothy here is he's saying the ladies need to wear cosmetics, makeup. No, the makeup he's talking about, cosmeo, is God's cosmetics. Now, let's face it, we all need help with the way we look. Well, none of us are perfect. We're all born defective, and you know that about me. And we're all defective spiritually. Ladies, in this case, we're talking to you. God is telling us through the hand of the Apostle Paul, he says, wear God's cosmetics. That's what will make you beautiful. That's what will give you value in what God is going to use you for. And remember, we heard that last week. God has no second-place citizens or second-class citizens. The male and the female are not equal because we're different. But we are equal in the sight of God in the ministries and purposes that He ordains for us. Don't let Satan and the world trick you into this philosophy once again that says, again, there's been wrong things done in God's plan, that God is wrong about this. How do you know He's wrong till you've tried it? How do you know that His Word is wrong till you've investigated it? Most of the people that challenge the Word of God have never read it, let alone practiced it. But the point is, we've been fed lies from Satan about everything. Men have been fed lies from Satan. And I could go, and I'll go into some of that as we go along. Women have been fed lies by Satan. But God's truth tells us what? both sexes are important to God in an equal way, but he has an order in how they operate. Are we clear on what I'm saying here? There is no one that's unimportant in God's model or in his plan. Okay? By the way, both sexes have got a lot of it wrong today. And it's come at the very behest of Satan. But let me assure you today, either male or female, you are important in God's plan. All right, so let's go on here. So he's illustrating to Timothy. He says, it isn't all the physical makeup that you can put on, how you portend yourself. By the way, God also gives a rule that I'm going to summarize all this in here today. It talks about modesty, but I mentioned this at the close last week. If you, male or female, if you're here today to draw attention to yourself by what you're wearing or not wearing or your decorations or anything else, you're wrong. We are called to bring glory to God. And that is the litmus test. By the way, I'm told they don't use litmus paper anymore. I won't go into that. But that is the litmus test of all of this. Am I, in what I am doing and how I display myself and in the life I have and the cosmetics I wear, talking again about the spiritual cosmetics, am I bringing attention to myself or bringing glory to God? That'll give you enough to think about right there. Anyway, and Paul illustrates that in verse 10. He says, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good works. That's how women are attractive in God's service, by being a spirit that is usable by God, and people can see it. You know the old saying, dogs can smell fear on a person, and it's true. If you turn your back on a dog that wants to attack, they're going to attack you a lot quicker than if you face them head on. And I want to assure you, both male and female, people will smell you out. They'll know if your sincerity is genuine for the Lord or not. And it's as obvious as the nose on your face. You and I know it. And we've been around some people, a few ladies and a few men get it right before God. And you know there's a difference in them. And it's not by the external. It's driven by what takes place internally. Now, is anyone mad yet or upset? By the way, I'm not mad. What's the use? You know, God says there's a place for anger, but it's short term. But I'm here. I'm called here. You know, I'm in the position for being stoned or shot or whatever the case may be. But I'm here to speak God's word. And we'll leave it fall in his discretion. You don't have to accept it. But, you know, again, it's offered and it's worth at least thinking about. Now we're going to get into some controversial stuff here. Verse 11. It's not controversial to me. But again, Paul is talking about the church. And boy, this brings trouble today. And here it is in the King James. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Boy, we've been through a lot of things over the years about that and the role of women in the churches. But I'm going to try to help us this morning. And the first thing that I want to direct, and again, let me give you my disclaimer. By the way, Kim is not gone here this morning because she didn't want to hear the message. She's heard it before. She's caught in a situation. Our granddaughter is headed to church camp at noon today, and they had to get something set up to go to the fair in the morning. So once in a while, hey, it happens, right? With all of us, absolutely. Just so you know, though, she didn't take off because of this. Let the women learn. That's the first thing we want to learn about. Ladies, what I was going to say. Ladies, you need to be teaching this to each other. And ladies, you need to put yourself in a position to be taught, because what's Paul tell Timothy here about the ladies in the church? They need to be learners. Learners. By the way, we need to learn. Now, there is a role in the church. Ladies need to teach other ladies. They also need to teach children. Obviously, if they're the core of the home, the nurturing factor in the home, as we looked at in previous weeks here, you can't teach if you don't. Let's get fired up here this morning. We're going to start doing cheers if we can't. Learners. By the way, what comes to your mind when you think about learning? school, boring church services. I hate learning. I've heard that from so many people. But the thing is, ladies, and it goes for the men too, we need to be learners. Sometimes it's better for us to listen than it is to speak. I've been planning a silent sermon. Somehow it never seems to work out here, though. You think I need to say something all the time. And that goes with the turf, but you know what? James tells us that, doesn't he? The Apostle James? Be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. It's a formula that's found in Scripture for all of us, but in particular, again, Paul's saying, let the ladies or the women learn in silence with all subjection. That word silence there means quietness. I believe that God through Paul is saying here, in most cases, the ladies are, it's God's will for them to be quiet people. Not silenced, not stifled like Edith and Archie. Bob, you going to be okay? I got water up here. By the way, don't watch Edith and Archie. Some of us old timers, Autumn, you don't even know who that is. TV, well, yeah. That is wrong, how he treated his wife. Bob, do you need a drink? Jason, get him a drink, will you? Thanks. Now I forgot what I was going to say. We got to get off that because that won't be good. Yeah, what James said. We are in a culture, though, and it has always been this way in the broken world, where we think we need to get our 2 cents worth in. I don't know when it was in the last few weeks I mentioned. Sometimes quietness says more than a lot of talk. Seriously, doesn't it? As we work through this text, God has the two ways and the two roles. But let's just work through it and see. So silence there, it means quietness with all subjection. Now, here we get into trouble. What's that word subjection mean? What's the word submission mean? They all have a commonality in a Greek word called hupotasso. And if you've been in the military, you know about hupotasso. Because there's order and rank, not by importance, because everyone in the military is important, correct? You can't have privates if you don't have generals, and you can't have generals if you don't have privates. And all the way up the chain of command. But God's ordinance in the equal use of both sexes has different roles. And so what he is saying here, that word hupotasso, is he saying to the ladies, fall in rank, okay, under the leadership. And what he's talking there, God is the head of all of it. Men ought to be subject unto God. By the way, men, you don't have a right, you know, you don't wear the beater and say, get me a beer, baby. Wrong. Men have many things that are ordered by God to do. And by the way, you treat the ladies as a precious vessel, as Christ loves the church. You see, when we get these things in the order, it's not us against them or a war. It's a working together in God's order. And he even says that in this case about the churches, okay, in particular. And now here's another one, and some of you may not agree with it. You don't have to agree with me, and you don't even have to agree with the Word of God. But I'm here to tell you what the Word of God says, okay? The best that I can. And here's a tough one. Paul says, but I suffer or permit not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in quietness or silence. This is a tough one today because, again, we've had this sexist teaching that's come into play. Men have been patriot. a male-ruled, dominated society, and the women have been taken. Well, I think some of that's true. But if it's done in the way God has ordained it, and you'll hear this from the men, God has a way that they're men are to operate as well. But here's the thing. I'm not sorry to teach this. But Paul says women can teach in the church, but men ought to be the ones that are the primary teachers in the church. And I believe this, folks, pastors. By the way, there's a lot of women pastors that are better than men pastors. But let me just say this. When you go into the scriptures, God has ordained men to have that spiritual leadership role. You don't have to agree, but that's what I think the scriptures say throughout. You will never find a pastor in scripture that is in the feminine gender. And you're saying, well, that's because the women were held down in the past. They didn't have the educational opportunities. By the way, do I think women should have been given the right to vote? Yes, I do. I think that was discriminatory against them. And many other things that happened. But we're not talking politics here or government. We're talking God's church, Jesus' church. By the way, if Jesus says it, if that's his will for the church, let's do it. Let's do it. Anyway, what it amounts to here, though, is the authority for teaching in the general church falls on the responsibility of the male. That's what I believe the scriptures say. Now, we'll go on here. And God makes this clear again through Paul. He says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. By the way, who was responsible in the Garden of Eden? Don't you blame Eve, even though we do. Adam was at fault because he, even in his unfallen nature as a male, has a tendency of what all males do today. He was out hiding in the weeds somewhere. He wasn't engaged with the program. Men, that's the problem why all this has come about today. Men have not fulfilled their role under God. They're schleps, many of them. They want to see someone else take the responsibility. Men need to take the responsibility under God in a loving, proper way. Adam was first formed, then Eve. There again, we find what? God's creative rank. Okay? By the way, if you have problems with some of these things, don't come to me. Well, you can come to me. Go to God. He's the one that said it. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Now, 14, that's a tough one too. All this is tough. But in case you haven't noticed, gals and guys are wired differently. You want me to get in depth on this? Are we wired differently or am I crazy? I seem to hear that we are different. I just told you one of the biggest weaknesses in the guys. They don't want to stand up and do it in the right way. See what we're saying here? And every male in this room, little to big, we have that defect within us. But the woman being deceived was in transgression. I feel bad about what happened with Eve. The blame is Adam's, really. But women are governed differently. When Miss Kim wants something done, or Grandma Kim wants something done, it'll get done. Why? She's not here. We can talk about her today. Yes, that has appeared a few times. You ladies will get stuff done. You may not be right, but you are wired emotionally that you will see that things are done. And I'm telling you, that's why Eve made that decision in the garden. Because she did not have the influence of the guy that properly was living before the Lord to say, wait, dear, I think we ought to think this over. Didn't God say something? about not eating from that fruit or even looking at that tree. I don't know why God allows these things to be the way they are, but it's the way they are. He's saying again, when it comes to the church, we need to be careful. And this is the directive that he gave. Because men and women are wired differently. But I know one thing, when men and women work together in harmony with God's will and his ways, it'll be great. By the way, I feel lonely here. I mean this. I told Kim this morning, I understand what's going on. But she is, and we're going to talk about, she's my compliment. I want her with me. By the way, you will not have an effective male pastor unless you have an effective female pastor's wife. Amen. Ministry. I don't know why God designed it that way, but I believe he did design it that way, and the evidence is pretty plain. Anyway, but verse 15, she was just preserved to bear the children and cook the food. No. The role for the lady. He says, even though this happened, you have the greatest privilege as being the ones who bear children. Praise God. You have a ministry. By the way, going back to the pastoral thing, you don't have to claim the title of pastor. By the way, it is an office. It's not a title even. It's a position of servanthood. But ladies, you can do the same things without claiming the title. And so can men. And I tell you from experience, you better be careful when you accept the title of pastor. Because it is not an easy thing. And let me tell you, even if you can manage with people, you still have to deal with God. And I'm telling you, I deal with him all the time. A message like this morning's a tough one. It's a tough one for me to get up here and have to say these things, but that's what God's word says. But I try to do it with love and grace, and again, reliance on him and his mercy. As we look at these things, it's all about him. It's not about us. It's not a rivalry between the sexes. It's not superiority or inferiority. It's about him and his program. Well, you want me to go any further? We're down to about 4 minutes. This might last a while. I don't mean this morning. By the way, I do respect time. And all of us have things we have to deal with. But this will be a good topic. You can have roast pastor today at lunch. You'll have something to talk about, and that's the goal here at Fruitland. Well, let's do one more first, but that's a big one. An example setter, again, of godliness. And we talked a little bit about the church. Now, I'm going to go to one more verse today before we're done. And this, again, is the rules and role models that females have. And I just alluded to this, but I'd like you to go to Genesis 2:18. Genesis 2:18. We'll come back to this. It may take weeks. Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." One of the things I think about is Kim and I approach elderly, well, we're classified as elderly now, but we know what's coming. And don't you all wonder, those of you that are long in years, who will go first? Or will we go together? Who will be left alone? Some of you are here today as widows and widowers. That's a hard thing. Because you know what? It is not good for man to be alone. I will say this, in most cases, ladies adapt better to widowhood than men. You can infer all the things I'm thinking there. I won't say them, but it's true. But generally speaking, God's saying here, it isn't good for man to be alone. By the way, before I forget this, and it's in my notes for next time, God does ordain some singleness too. And he'll use people that are single, if that's the way it turns out, he'll use you in that capacity as well. It's not second class. But going back again here about the role of godly women, you can be used in that role of singleness. But if you choose to be used in the role of union with a man called marriage. By the way, that came from the Bible. We covered that a few weeks ago. You know this, it is not good that the man should be alone. I told you I miss Kim here today, just being here. And we wonder, what will that be like? But notice what God said, I will make him, in the King James it says, and help meet for him. That word meet means fit. By the way, we will deal with some adult topics as we go through this, so be prepared. But in case you haven't noticed, male and female complement each other. What were the two words I started this series out with? Anyone remember? I'm going to have to look myself. Receptor and effector. When it's designed and operated in God's ways, it's a complement. We need each other. Ladies, as we're talking about your role today, because the ladies go first in this case, part of your design in God's program is to be the one that comes into that relationship and fills in the chinks in the cracks of your husband. That's the role. And we'll look at that further as we go along, starting out next week. God's design. Well, in closing, what can I say? I had a whole thing written up. Bottom line, today, a couple things. Number one, if you're here today and you know that you're not a part, that you're not in a personal fellowship with Jesus Christ, let me tell you, first of all, the things I've said today will not make sense to you. You're going to say, these things go counter to what I believe and what I think is in the world today. Well, let me just tell you this. Jesus loves you today, and he has died for your sins. And he wants you in a personal relationship with him. But if you're today and you know that you have never received Christ as your Savior, but you're beginning to think about these things, that's the Holy Spirit of God, Brother Dave, beginning to work in your life to listen, because you can't even understand these scriptures unless you have been born again and have the Spirit of God opening your eyes. So today, a basic thing, if you're here in that condition and you're wondering, talk to the Lord. He's open today. The Bible simply, it's not religious. It just says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved, shall be rescued. Because there is a penalty for our sin. It's eternal punishment for transgression against God. But Jesus came and took that punishment that you can be set free today. You'll have your eyes opened by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us, that's when we begin to see, when the eyes of the Spirit open our eyes, and then you'll see Jesus. You'll see how all this fits together. So that's the first thing today. But the second thing today, and I'm down here in front every Sunday. You know why? Tell me why. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Wrong. Well, yeah, I'm supposed to do that. I'm here because I need to be here, publicly standing before Jesus and you and saying, I need Jesus today. I need to be rescued from my sin and the sins that I continue to struggle with. But today, there's been a lot of mistakes made. I talked with a person this week that said, well, my father set the pattern for troubles in my life. There's a lot of people. Our mothers, our fathers, our ancestors did things that have affected us. But friend, today, you can't blame them. We can't blame Adam, because men in this room, we'd have been in the same place. But all we can say today is today's a day to change. To change, to do it God's way. And you know, if we'll take one little step towards him, he'll take one giant leap to help us. And you see the power of the Spirit invoked in your life, you're going to see dynamic things. You'll see a change in the church. You'll see people saying, instead of not wanting to be here, I need to be there because I need fed. I need fellowship, the F words. I need encouragement in my walk. You know, today, if your marriage is a wreck or your relationships are a wreck, go to Jesus. Don't go to your counselor. Go to your attorney. That's Jesus. He is your counselor. I'm having a little fun with you. 1 John chapter 1, we looked at it this morning. We have an advocate that the Father has given us, and that is Jesus Christ. He knows where we're at, and He loves you, and He will help you. He is a gentle and kind shepherd. And so as we close today, you don't have to make it public. You don't have to. No one cranks on anyone here at Fruitland except the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart today, deal with it. Take it as a grace gift from God that He didn't let you go another step further into trouble and see it turned around today. That's Jesus. He's waiting for you and I today with open arms. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. 696. And we've got a problem here. Let's see. It should be, I gave my life for thee, but I've got Shall We Gather at the River. Someone take a quick look, because I did want to use it. Yes, but the I gave my life for thee. Thank you. As we think, I'm sorry about those glitches, folks. Don't let that interrupt it, though. If you're considering this today, remember, Jesus showed and proved His love. He died as the sinless Son of God, God in the flesh, bearing our sins, shedding His blood to cover those sins, and He rose again the third day to new life. Folks, He did it for us out of compassion. If your heart is hard today, you won't acknowledge that. But today, if your heart is soft, you'll understand Jesus is a compassionate Savior. He went through that because of His love for us. Don't reject it today. Accept it, receive it, and be changed. We'll sing the first stanza. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst grant. That Jesus is open on Sundays. He may give you a second thought after you leave, but let me tell you, He is waiting for you and I today. And like I said before, I'm up here. I want to acknowledge He did that for me today. I haven't done enough for Him. None of us can. But hopefully today our heart is in a mode that says, I want to do my best for you, Jesus. I trust you'll have a great afternoon in the Lord. I'm going to ask Doug Chatfield to close in prayer. I'll greet you at the back door today. Again, what a great day it is that God's given us.